Dr. Cassieri from Andersonville Baptist Seminary. As we continue in the course entitled The Doctrine of Christ, we're going to begin lesson number 8, entitled The Character of Christ. And we'll be looking at several areas. First, under point A, we'll be looking at Jesus Christ was holy. Point B, Jesus Christ was loving. Point C, Jesus Christ's love for souls. Point D, Jesus Christ was compassionate. Point E, Jesus Christ was prayerful. F, Jesus Christ was meek. G, Jesus Christ was humble. And then point H, we'll make some concluding remarks. So let's begin. And we're on tape number 5, side 1, as we begin lesson 8, entitled The Character of Christ, in our study on the doctrine of Christ. This lesson is an attempt to tell what kind of person Jesus really was. R.A. Torrey, in his book, What the Bible Teaches, gives 56 pages to this subject. We often sing or pray, I want to be like Jesus. What do we mean by this? This desire is most noble, but we need to emulate him in more than one point. He is our example. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. Not only in action, but in character too. Romans chapter 8, verse 29, amen, tells us we're to be conformed to his image, is basically being conformed to his character. The first point we want to look at, A, is Jesus Christ was holy. This subject was covered in the lesson on the sinlessness of Christ. Jesus Christ was holy, absolutely holy, for he was without a sin nature from birth. Moreover, he did not commit any sin and always did that which was correct and pure. Notice how the Apostle Peter refers to Jesus in Acts chapter 3, in verse number 14. Acts chapter 3, in verse number 14. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. Notice he refers, the Apostle Peter refers to Jesus Christ as the Holy One and the Just One. The Savior manifested his holiness in loving righteousness and hating iniquity. This is clearly seen in his cleansing of the temple and the denunciation of sin and hypocrisy. Jesus hates sin so much that he was willing to die on Calvary to defeat sin and offer righteousness to all who will believe on him. In Galatians chapter 3, let's turn there, we see that it says that Christ was a curse for us under the law. Galatians chapter number 3 and verse number 13. Galatians 3:13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. In Romans chapter 4, verse 6, tells us that God imputes righteousness to those who receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Look with me in Romans chapter 4 and verse number 6. In Romans chapter 4 and verse number 6, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Also, let's look in Revelations chapter 19. Revelations chapter 19, where we have that great scene of the Lord Jesus Christ coming back with the saints of God, amen, with the armies from heaven. And notice in Revelations 19 and verse 8, and to her was arrayed that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. And of course, it's describing the bride of Christ. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And of course, that righteousness was received, was imputed by God, by those who received Jesus Christ as their Savior. The second point, point B, that we want to see about the character of Christ is Jesus Christ was loving. The Savior's love was manifested in two ways. Number one, to his Father, and number two, to mankind. First, let's look at John chapter 14. The Gospel of John in chapter number 14. We want to look at verse number 31 of the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Jesus said this, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandments, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. So we see Jesus manifested this love by obedience to the Father. Notice what he said in the Gospel of John chapter 6, in verse number 38. John chapter 6, verse 38. Jesus said, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. We see also, as we look at John chapter 14 again, in that same verse 31, we see the same point there reinforced in how Jesus manifested his love for the Father by his obedience to the Father. In John chapter 14 and verse 31, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Jesus finished the work that the Father gave him to do. First, we want to look in John chapter 17 and verse number 4. Jesus said to the Father, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Again, we're seeing Jesus' love manifested to the Father through his complete obedience to the Father's will. He came to this earth to do the Father's will, and he completed it. He completed the work that the Father gave him to do. In connection with this, let's look at John chapter 19 with me in verse number 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. He had finished the work that his Father had sent him to do. We also see that Christ especially loves the church. Look in Ephesians chapter 5 with me, where we have that great chapter and how it points how the marriage between a man and a woman is is a picture of the relationship that Jesus Christ has with the church. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, the Word of God says this, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." So we see that Christ has an especially loves the church. Christ loved the church. Amen. Because we see that he gave himself for it. Then we see that Jesus has a special love for his own. Looking in John chapter 13 with me. Again, we're looking at lesson number 8 in the course on the doctrine of Christ. And under lesson 8, which is the character of Christ, we're looking at point B, Jesus Christ was loving. But we see that Jesus had a special love for his own. As we turn to John chapter 13 and verse number 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And then we see that Jesus also loves sinners. Notice in Luke chapter 19 with me. In Luke chapter 19 and verse number 10. Luke 19:10. Jesus said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Jesus certainly loves sinners. Matthew 9 verse 13 shows Jesus obeyed his teachings of Matthew 5, 4, of Matthew chapter 5 verse 44, and loved his enemies. Let's first turn to Matthew 9, verse 13. Matthew chapter 9 with me now, verse 13. We read Matthew chapter 9, verse 13. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 13, Matthew 9:13, Jesus said, "Go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And he was obeying his teaching, amen? In Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, he says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Amen. So we see that Jesus obeyed his teaching there, and he loved his enemies. We also see in Luke chapter 23, in Luke 23, in verse number 34, in Luke 23:34, it says, "Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots." So we see that Jesus was obedient to what he taught, how to love our enemies and to forgive them for those that persecute you, as he was hanging on that cross. And he asked the Father to forgive those who had done this to him. We also see that Jesus loved children. Amen. Jesus loved children very much so. In Mark chapter 10, in verses 13 through 16, the Bible gives us this beautifully in this scene here. Mark 10, verses 13 through 16. And they brought young children to him, that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them and blessed them. Amen. Bible also tells us that Jesus demonstrated his love by becoming poor, that we might become rich. Look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 and verse 9, the Bible tells us, For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, amen, though he was rich, amen, he came from the glories of heaven, amen. He was equal with the Father. He was very rich. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. What did he do? He loved you and I so much that he gave up all that he had in heaven to come to this earth, this sin-sick earth from the glories of heaven, and to be humble, and to be found in the likeness of man. Amen. And he died and shed his precious blood so we could be rich, so we could be assured of heaven, amen, when we died, if we'd only believe on him. The supreme proof of his love was voluntarily dying for us. In the Gospel of John, in chapter 15, in John chapter 15, in verse number 13, we read, Jesus says, Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus continues to manifest his love to us daily by daily care and sustenance. In the Gospel of Matthew, in chapter number 6, Matthew chapter 6, in verse 33, Jesus said, But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Again, we're in lesson 8. Entitled The Character of Christ. So far we've looked at, as we're examining Christ's character, we saw that he was holy, he was loving, and now we want to look at Jesus Christ's love for souls. Let us follow our Savior in his never dying love for the souls of men wandering in sin. He came as the Good Shepherd, did he not? To seek lost sheep, both of the Jews and the Gentiles. In John chapter 10, and in verse number 16, Jesus said, And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And, of course, he was talking about the Gentiles there. Amen. That the two different folds, the Jews and the Gentiles, but he was the one shepherd over both. Amen. He both loves the Jews and the Gentiles. He loves souls. Jesus loved the multitudes. He came to die for the world, for all mankind. In John chapter 3, in verse 16, Jesus said, and he reminds us, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But his ministry was mostly one of individual soul winning, reaching them one by one. We see in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, it records his dealings with two of John's disciples, Andrew and his friend, in John chapter 1. Let's turn to John chapter 1 and verses 37 and 40. We read, and the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. And one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Then we see him dealing with Peter in verse 2. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. And then we see Philip in verse 43. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. And then we see Nathanael in verse 47 of John chapter 1. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite, indeed, in whom is no guile. We see in John chapter 3, him dealing with Nicodemus. Amen. In John chapter 4, with the well, with the woman at the well of Samaria. And then John 9, with a man born blind. My dear friends, let's not be afraid to spend hours with a single soul. In Luke chapter 15, verse 4, he bared his heart to go and search for the lost. Let's look at Luke chapter 15. In verse 4, Jesus said, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? Jesus entered into the joy of finding the lost sinner. Amen. We read in verses 5 through 7 of Luke 15, And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over the sinner, over the one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. In Luke chapter 15, verse 24, Jesus says, When the prodigal returned, they began to be merry. Likewise, he was deeply grieved at every soul that rejected him. In Luke chapter 19, verses 41 and 42, Jesus wept over stiff-necked Jerusalem, not over the city, but their souls. Let's look in Luke chapter 19, and verses 41 and 42. Luke 19, 41 and 42. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from their eyes. Let us pray, my dear friends, that we will be conformed to this love of Jesus, that Jesus had for souls and individuals. Let's move on to point number D in our lesson on the character of Christ, which is Jesus Christ was compassionate. Jesus Christ was compassionate, for the Bible's shortest verse says, simply, in John 11:35, Jesus wept. He wept over the death of his friend Lazarus. Jesus' compassion was manifested towards the multitude. In Mark 6, we're told in verse 34, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach many things. May we too have compassion like this. Amen. We see that Jesus' compassion caused him to be concerned for the people's physical need. In the Gospel of John in chapter 6, in verse number 5, with me, John 6, verse number 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? We see Jesus' compassion forced him to heal the blind. In John chapter 9, in verses 1 through 38. Also in Matthew chapter 20, in verse number 34, Matthew 20:34. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. Immediately, amen. Jesus' compassion forced him to heal the blind, amen. He had compassion on those possessed with demons. We see this in Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9 with me. In Mark chapter 9, in verse 22, first in verse 22 of Mark 9, and oftentimes it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Verse 25 of Mark 9. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. Amen. Jesus had compassion on those possessed with devils. Mark 9:22-25. Also in Mark chapter 5 in verses 1-13, and also in Luke chapter 4 in verse 41, we read, and the devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. Jesus was compassionate on the poor lepers. Amen. Look first of all in Mark chapter 1 with me. Mark chapter 1. In verse 40 and 41 of Mark 1. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him, saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. Jesus was compassionate on poor lepers. Luke chapter 5 and verses 12 through 15, we read, And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man of leprosy, full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand, touched him, saying, I will be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell thy man, but to go and show thyself to the priest, offer for thy cleansing, according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear him, to be healed by him of their infirmities. Often we say we have compassion, but Jesus demonstrated his compassion with actions. He became a shepherd to the lost sheep. He became a savior to the doomed. He healed the sick. He cast out devils. My dear friend, let us love in both word and in deed as Jesus did. Point number E we want to move on to is we're looking at lesson 8, the character of Christ. Point E, we want to look, Jesus Christ was prayerful. Jesus Christ was prayerful. The four Gospels give us a glimpse into the great prayer life of the Savior. But none is strong as in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 5 and look at verse 7. Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard that he feared. Jesus Christ was prayerful. Amen. It was not uncommon for Jesus to pray all night, in fact. Let's look at Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Oh, yes, my dear friend, Jesus Christ was prayerful. Look in Mark with me, the Gospel of Mark now, chapter 1 and verse 35. Mark 1 and verse 35. In the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. Jesus Christ was prayerful. It was not uncommon for Jesus to pray all night. Jesus prayed before great experiences like his baptism, his temptation. In Luke 3, verse 21, let's look at Luke 3, 21. In Luke 3, verse 21, it says, Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized in praying, the heaven was opened. Look with me also in John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and verse number 15. We read, When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And of course he went up in the mountain to pray. He prayed openly to the Father, requesting miracles. Looking in Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14 in verse number 19. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 19. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. And he took the five loaves and the two fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. Let's look also in John chapter 11. We're seeing how he prayed openly to the Father, requesting miracles. John chapter 11. In John chapter 11, we have the rising, the resurrection of Lazarus from the dead. In John chapter 11, in verses 41 and 42. And then they took away the stone from the place which the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I know that thou hast heard me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And of course, this was just before he raised Lazarus from the dead. Jesus ended his earthly life with a prayer on his lips to the Father. Look with me in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, and verse number 46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Jesus often sought to be alone in prayer, in a solitary place or on the mountainside. Sometimes he prayed alone. Looking in Matthew In Matthew 14, verse 13, when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into the desert place apart. When the people heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. So we see here that he went apart, amen, to be by himself, to pray. Sometimes he prayed with his disciples, amen, in Luke 9, verse 28. Luke 9 with me, the Gospel of Luke chapter 9 and verse 28. And it came to pass about in 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter, John, and James and went up into the mountain to pray. So we see sometimes he prayed alone, sometimes he prayed with his disciples, as we saw here in Luke chapter 9 verse 28 and also in Luke 22. And verses 39 to 46. In Luke 22 and 39 to 46, of course, we have he's there with his disciples the night before his crucifixion in the Garden of Gethsemane. In Luke 22, verses 39 to 46. We won't read them, but I wanted to give you that reference. Jesus prayed for individuals. Amen. Look in Luke. Let's go to Luke for a moment. In Luke chapter 22, he prays for Peter in verses 31 to 32. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. We see also that he prayed for his own in John 17, verses 9 and 20. He prayed in submission to the will of the Father in Gethsemane. Looking in Matthew chapter 26. In verse 42, Matthew 26, verse 42. And he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. Jesus taught his disciples to pray and told us to do likewise. And we see the disciples' model prayer is recorded in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. By prayer, he overcame temptation. He wrought miracles, escaped death, and glorified God. Again, another characteristic, point E, of Christ, Jesus Christ was prayerful. He was prayerful. Amen. All right, point number F in our lesson on the character of Christ is Jesus Christ was meek. Again, he was meek. He wasn't weak, he was meek. And what we mean by meekness is he was totally committed to do the Father's will. He was submitted to the Father's will. Amen. And what we see, meekness manifests itself in gentleness and tenderness towards others. Jesus himself said that he is meek. He said in Matthew 11, verse 29, did he not? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Amen. And then also in Matthew chapter 12, verse 20, it says, a bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. Again, showing his meekness, Christ's meekness. Paul asked the Corinthians this question. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 21. He asked him this question. What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod, or in love, and in the spirit of meekness? As Christians, amen, we are to learn meekness. And of course, Jesus is a great example. He's the example to follow. In fact, look what it says in Galatians chapter 6 with me. Galatians chapter number 6. Galatians 6 and verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So, with a brother or sister in Christ who has gotten out of fellowship with God through sin, and they're repentant, and they've asked for forgiveness, we'll restore them with meekness. Amen? We're not to keep reminding them and hounding them over and over again about what they did. Amen? But we're to restore them. Amen? In meekness, in a spirit of meekness. In 2 Timothy, let's turn to 2 Timothy for a moment, chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Notice what Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 24 and 25. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. As Christians, as servants of the Lord, amen, we're not to strive with other men, but we're to be gentle unto all men and to teach them with patience, instructing them in meekness. And by doing so, maybe those that have, you know, have been misled in the scriptures will have a turnaround, amen, and repent for not acknowledging the truth, amen. Jesus manifested meekness in not breaking the bruised reed or quenching the smoking flax. In Matthew 12, verse 20. He dealt tenderly with the broken and fanned the dying fire. Well, we still have a couple of points left in lesson 8 on the character of Christ. And when we pick up again, we will conclude lesson 8 and begin lesson 9, which is the teachings of Christ. So this ends tape number 5, side 1.